has the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place.
This steel and that third one steel cut off. That last one still cut off. Is the last one still cut off down there in red? Leave it. No. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Conquered the grave.
Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead service, prayer, devotional, memorial, family, evangelistic service, my beloved. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. In the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, memorial, family, evangelistic devotional service, service number 1103, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 822. Where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique viewpoint allows us to read the whole Bible as a single true story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history, the present and the future. Today, my beloved, we're reading one of my favorite psalms, a psalm, as I told my wife, Marika White, I read a whole lot when I was a young Christian for some reason. And maybe you will find out why once we begin reading it tonight. Shall we pray first? Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Lord God in heaven, I praise you and thank you for your love, your grace and your mercy. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting at your right hand. I praise you and thank you for your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word and for all of the millions, the many, and the manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. Thank you, Lord, for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for the early morning prayers that you gave me a mind to lead, and the early morning reading of your Holy Word. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for the tremendous service you gave us on yesterday. And Holy Father God, I thank you for the miracles that you have worked through my children this past week, the miracle that you worked through Master Sergeant this past week and the miracle that you have worked through Dr. Mills over the past 2 months or so. And Lord, the miracle that you have worked repeatedly over and over through Dr. Tony Evans and the Urban Alternative for over 16 years. Considering we have never met and we really do not know each other, you touch his heart and the heart of his wife to stand with us in the ministry in a huge way for over 16 years at least. Dr. Dwight McKissick as well and his wife stood with us. And Lord, we thank you for all of these who stood with us in significant ways and so many others as well. Lord, you know who they are. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for salvation and spiritual family and life, financial and material protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, for Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us. For we are all wretched and wicked and evil and sinful. Lord, those of us who are saved don't want to be, but we are. For Jesus Christ's sake, Lord, please have mercy and grace upon us. Through Jesus Christ, your Holy Son, please forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And make us whiter than snow on the inside. Crucify and crush, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us this evening, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, control me, control us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that the devil is fighting against us as he has always done on Saturdays and Sundays and Fridays, and when preaching every day, as I have been doing every day. And so, Lord, you have already informed me the devil is going to try to, all day long, but even especially during the service, to try to cause a problem, to try to hinder the services. And I pray that, Lord, you will help us to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and that you will hold everything together and steady, and that, Lord God in heaven, your holy word will go forth not only once, but Lord, if you give me the strength and I feel up to it, maybe even twice tonight, back to back. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would put a guard at our hearts, our minds, tongues, attitudes, and temperaments, that we would not sin against you. Each and every one of us who is saved and born again. And Lord God in heaven, I pray that you would deliver each and every one of us also who is saved and born again in this country and around the globe, in my family. Lord, deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to act right, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Help us, Lord, to all, especially those of us who are saved and born again, to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent of our wicked sins and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, I do pray for the salvation of every soul in my family, in this audience, in this country, and around the globe. And Lord, I do pray for the confirmation of my wife's salvation with a renewed life, a new life. I pray, Lord, for she made a profession of faith in you on March the 4th after almost 60 years of not truly being saved, just religious, as I was, and as so many in my family have been, which is very, very dangerous. So, Lord, I pray that she will work out her own salvation, that she will, by your grace, and live out her salvation, not only in front of other people, but in front of you, behind the scenes. I pray for the salvation of her mother. I pray for the salvation of her aunts and her siblings. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of my mother and for the salvation of my siblings. And Lord, I thank you for blessing me to lead all of my children to you at the age of 7. And Lord, I pray that you will help them to examine themselves and to make sure that they're in the faith and that they're living out their faith in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I do pray that you would indeed walk with them as you have walked with me. Lead them as you led me down through the years. And Holy Father God, I pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving in this country and around the globe. And Holy Father God, have your Holy Ghost to not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. And Holy Father God, we pray that for those of us who are saved, that you will lift all of our sin burdens, guilt burdens, care burdens, anxiety burdens, troubles, problems, and fears. Deliver us, Lord, who are saved and striving to serve you. Deliver us from all of our distresses and afflictions. For everybody who's serving you will have these things. And Lord, I do pray that you deliver us from all tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations, tests and tensions, according to your will. And Lord God in heaven, deliver us all who are saved and born again from all spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress, problems, troubles, and difficulties that we are facing. And Lord, deliver us from our enemies in every way, on every side, as only you can. Pave the way for us. Open up doors for us. And Lord, I do pray that you'd bless and protect, Lord, all of my children, my family, and all of the children of Christian family members in this audience and others as well and around the world. Protect us, Lord, from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, and evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us tonight the whole arm of God. Surround us with a band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And have all that we do and say to be done for your glory, your praise, and your honor tonight and throughout our lives, before the cameras and behind the cameras. And Lord, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing things to be as well as they are, for they could be worse. And Holy Father God, thank you for remembering your mercy and love and grace upon us, even when you have to chastise us and deal with us. Thank you for remembering your mercy, love, and grace. And Holy Father God, we commit everything into your hands. Let your will be done. Thank you for reminding me tonight that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, if you want me to preach twice tonight and teach and preach twice tonight, please let me know. Let your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and foes even in the family, the standing between the living and the dead crowd who have been with me for over 1,100 services since the coronavirus plague was announced. And I thank God for your being with me through these years. And it's such a service that even though coronavirus is not right now that big of a threat, even though it's killing around 400 people a day, they tell us, has killed over 20 million people worldwide, they tell us. God has led me to love this service so much that we're continuing it. We may not do it every day as we did it for so many months the past 3+ years, but I love it. I love this service. And I thank God for it, and I know my children love it, and especially Danielle Elizabeth, who has been a big part of it. So has Daniqua Grace, and so has Daniel Ezekiel, and all of my children, Danae, Danita, Daniel the Fourth, and Danny, have all experienced this service. And so I say again, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, "Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God." And it just so happens to be tonight that this is a passage that is one of my favorites, and a passage that I read many, many hundreds of times when I was a young Christian, Psalm 103. And so I say it the way that I normally say it. I have the honor and the privilege to read in your hearing, "Thus saith the Lord." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins,
nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Shall we pray? Holy Father God in heaven, thank you for the privilege that it is to read your holy word, and particularly Psalm 103. For Lord, you have seen me read it hundreds of times, and it has helped me to get through many difficult times and has comforted me. Lord, have it to always find a lodging place in my heart and in the hearts of others, and help us to remember it and to love it and to meditate on it. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and to obey it. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women, boys and girls, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House family devotional reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's classic book titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast, and this is episode number 664. The Word of God reads, "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. Keep the altar of private prayer burning. And may I add this evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, if you are a born-again one, never, never, never let go of your private prayer. It's wonderful to pray together. Make sure you do that. Pray with your family, but do not neglect praying by yourself. That's a special prayer time that you do not want to neglect. Keep the prayer wheel turning and burning. This is the very life of all piety. The sanctuary and family altars borrow their fires here in that private time of prayer when it's just you and God. And I don't know how it is in your marriage and in your family, but I even told my wife that I noticed that my prayers are more efficient. My prayer life is more seemingly more powerful. And I pray with her. I've been praying with her every day for over 35 years. But when I pray privately, the prayer that I normally pray with her, I could pray. There's a struggle and there's a battle. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the demons trying to work through her to try to hinder me from praying. I don't know. But if I'm praying, if I'm in my prayer closet and I'm praying by myself, that prayer seems to be more powerful, more vivid, more efficient, meaning that for some strange reason, a prayer that normally takes me an hour to pray normally, I can pray that prayer in less than 10 minutes, the same prayer. I don't know what's going on there, but that's been my experience. Anyway, all I'm saying is, it's important that you pray in your prayer closet by yourself. It's not enough just to pray. It's not enough to pray with a group. It's not enough to pray with your family. My family and I prayed a whole lot down through the years. And God has blessed us tremendously for praying like we have. But do not neglect your private prayer with God. God wants to see you by yourself. As you're going to stand before God by yourself, I would encourage you, and it would behoove you to pray by yourself before God while you're here. And then pray with your spouse if it's just you and your spouse. But definitely pray with your family. I said a long time ago on a podcast that it is a crime for a man not to pray with his family before he leaves the house, wife and children. Therefore, let this burn well, Dr. Spurgeon says. Secret devotion is the very essence, evidence, and barometer of vital and experimental religion or faith in God. Burn here the fat of your sacrifices. Let your closet seasons be, if possible, regular. Go ahead, Dr. Spurgeon, go ahead. Frequent. I was relaxing in the back last night. My wife was doing some work for me, right beside me. And God spoke to my heart to pray. This was about maybe 9:30 at night, something like that. I was dressed in a very relaxing outfit, night clothes kind of a thing. And I don't know why, nobody ever told me this, but ever since I was saved, I got saved and became born again over 43 years ago, while in the Air Force, I for some reason I could not pray and have my devotions and not have a shirt on. It's just something that it seemed like God told me to do and led me to do. Don't come before me half naked or anything like that. So I told my wife to get my shirt, or whatever I had available there. And God led me to pray. I didn't feel like praying. That's the whole point. I did not feel like praying. I know that you think I'm a super spiritual person and all that. Not so much. My flesh in me did not want to pray. My wife did not want to pray. But I prayed. And I did not feel like praying. I did not feel like getting into the prayer. But then, as God does, you can get into the prayer, and then God takes over. And at the end of that prayer time, I was so happy. I told my wife, I said, I tell you, I'm just so happy I went ahead and prayed and obeyed the prompting of the Lord. Because it was God will do something in the driest moments. When it's like a desert. He'll make that time very special. Another special time that my children and I enjoyed down through the years is reading the Word of God and prayer together in our family devotions. But do you know, even though my wife and I do not have an original match kind of a marriage like Charles Swindoll and his wife, and that he talked about, we're not that romantic. We've been married for over 35 years, and we don't always get along swimmingly. I'm going to do what the Lord leads me to do, and so I have less of a problem than that. But do you know what I enjoy the most, and I hope she enjoys it as well? She tells me she does. Reading the Bible together in the morning. That's the thing. I think that's the thing we enjoy the most. Outside of sex, of course. It's not really a struggle to do that for me. And sometimes is for her, but it's a very powerful time for some reason. So I want to encourage you to pray and read the Bible together, and read it separately as well. Some of you people are sleeping separately now inside marriage. You claim so that you can get a better night's sleep, which in reality is that you just hate each other. That's what's happening. But if you can do that, you can sleep in different bedrooms and all of that. That's a popular thing going on today as married couples in the church, by the way. You can pray separately too. Yeah, and when you come together to pray, it should be a sweeter situation. Frequent and undisturbed prayer is very important. Effectual prayer availeth much. And I guess that's the word I was looking for when I told my wife how that when I pray alone. And I still pray. I have never missed a day praying with my wife in over 35 years of marriage and children. All of my children now are grown and on their own. By the way, God touched their hearts to be a huge blessing to their father, and this surprised me to no end. I'm not going to tell you the details, but I do know this: what they sent was worth over $300. I can tell you that, and they all pitched in and did that for me, and yes, they did it primarily for me. My my wife will benefit from it, but they there's no mistake about it. And when they did the shopping, they had me on their minds, because they flat did it, and I really didn't teach them how to do it, but they had to learn from somebody early on. And I tell you what, they have not missed the beat, because they got exactly what I needed and what I wanted. And I have enjoyed it. And it was an answer to prayer, and I told them that. It was an answer to prayer. And so that's what I believe I was telling my wife, that it's not only, I use the word efficient, but effectual is the word. Effectual. Effectual prayer availeth much. It's something about that closet prayer, something about it, when it's just you and God. I say, okay, ain't nobody playing when it's just you and God. And but you need to pray with your spouse and your children, your family as well. Pray with the brethren at the church and the sister. And we've gotten away from prayer, public prayer in the church. And actually, for a good reason in some churches, because some deacons took it too far. I mean, they just showing off. Whenever you get up from praying, and the women in the church and the sisters in the church say, "Oh man, that was a beautiful prayer," you have not prayed a lick. Nobody cares about how beautiful it is. Now, no sir, no ma'am, we don't care about that. Did you pray to God? Have you nothing to pray for? Let us suggest the church. Go ahead, Dr. Spurgeon. Let us suggest the ministry. You want something to pray for? How about your own soul? You want something to pray for? How about your own children? You need something to pray for? How about your relationships? And by the way, there are some relationships that you got to tend to and take care of and put under the care of prayer. Yes, sir. You may not have to do a whole lot of them, but you better do some. You better do the ones you got. Your neighbors. Your country. Are you praying for your country? It's one thing to complain about your country, but it's another thing to pray for your country. And the cause of God and truth throughout the world. And by the way, yeah, we all need to be reminded that it's not just the ministries and the callings that God has given to us. God has thousands of folks that are serving Him in His way. Pray for them too. Let us examine ourselves on this important matter. Do we engage with lukewarmness in private devotion, half-heartedness? Is the fire of devotion burning dimly in our hearts? Do the chariot wheels drag heavily? If so, let us be alarmed at this sign of decay. And this is what God has laid upon my heart to preach to you next. I can preach it tomorrow. But I'm thinking about preaching a little bit of it tonight. It's kind of an urgent thing. See, only preachers will know what I'm talking about. Sometimes God will put an urgent message on your heart, and you got to preach it now. And Dr. Spurgeon said, let us all go with weeping. Let us go with weeping and ask for the Spirit of grace and of supplications, to pray as we should. Let us set apart special seasons for extraordinary prayer. For if this fire should be smothered beneath the ashes of a worldly conformity, it will dim the fire on the family altar and lessen our influence both in the church and in the world. And allow me to say something special to my 9 children. And that includes my 10 children altogether, including my granddaughter. And those of you who were with me every day, especially, I have a scene in my mind. I had 2 of the children in the car, and it was at night, and we prayed. We were not at home. We were out in the middle of nowhere. And we prayed. And I want all of my children to remember all of the thousands of spontaneous prayers that they heard their father pray. They could write a book on it. Prompted by the Lord to pray. Driving down the road. Daniqua. Daniel, Ezekiel, Danielle. How many times we had to make a quick run to the store, and once we got settled in the car, Danae, Danita, Daniel the 4th, Daniela, we put our seatbelt on. We were just going to go away for just a few minutes to pick up something for Sunday morning, and I don't think I ever failed to pray as we were pulling out of the lot. Remember all of those thousands of times when your papa prayed to make it. Sometimes we had sometimes, it's all, and I know some of y'all are laughing, especially Danae. There was sometimes we had to pray. We had to pray. Daniqua, you too. We had to pray. I mean, I remember the cold, icy months, and everybody was slip sliding away on the frozen roads, and we had to go get something to eat. Daniqua was in the car with me, and we would still be out there if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. Many a days and many a nights, my sons, when I took them to learn how to work and how to keep a job, very precarious situations. My oldest son, Daniel the 4th, almost got us killed at least 3 or 4 times, not paying attention. I took them delivering things. And so I became their supervisor. My son, Daniel the 4th, acted like he didn't want to work a job, couldn't keep a job. And so I said, I'll tell you what, I'll be your supervisor. And I don't know how many times Daniel Zeker was in the back. I don't know how many times we almost died because he was not paying attention to the app, something, thinking about something else or whatever, riding down the road. We almost died several times. God is the one who intervened. I guess God just said, let me help these people because they don't know what they're doing. Danny, Danita, those trips to Liberty University were exciting. And they were miraculous. I remember one time we were heading on that long journey, and something was wrong with the spark plug. The spark plug kept coming out. And every 50 or 60 miles, Daniel the Fourth had to go back and go out there and stand on the bumper and put the spark plug, even at night on the side of the road. God brought us through many, many things and brought us a mighty long way. And I want you all to remember, at every crisis, children, every difficulty, remember that your father prayed. And that's how we got through. We didn't have any money. We walked by faith, and God brought us through. And don't you ever forget that, because you know the God of Israel. You know the God and Father of Jesus Christ for real. You saw him work miracles and miracle after miracle. And don't you ever forget that. The text will also apply to the altar of the heart. This is a golden altar indeed. God loves to see the hearts of his people glowing towards himself in prayer. Let us give to God our hearts all blazing with love and seek his grace, that the fire may never be quenched. For it will not burn if the Lord does not keep it burning. Many foes will attempt to extinguish it, but if the unseen hand behind the wall, go ahead, Spurgeon, pour thereon the sacred oil, it will blaze higher and higher. Let us use texts of Holy Scripture as fuel for our hearts' fire. They are live coals. Let us attend sermons, but above all, let us be much alone with Jesus. Glory be to God, and amen, shall we pray. Holy Father God, I thank you for this rich time of devotions with your anointed one, the one you gave the mother load of unction and anointing, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. He being dead, yet speaketh, and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. Help us to obey your holy word. Help us to pray without ceasing. Help us to pray always. Help us to continue instant in prayer, to have faith in God as you told us to, Lord Jesus. No matter how we may feel or what we may think, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friends, we move to the family segment of the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service. This is a full Standing Between the Living and the Dead service with all four parts. And make sure you remember that when you put it up. Mention the word full. And we're dealing with husbands. Tonight we dealt with the wife over the past three services, devotional services. So turn your attention to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25, and we're going to read a few verses as we spend a little bit longer with this passage, because it is longer than the previous three. Husbands, love your wives. That is not a suggestion from God. God does not deal in suggestions. He deals in commandments. Okay, so it doesn't matter how you feel about it. Look at me real good, sir. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter what you think about it. (Clears throat) And it's sad today. An article came out this past week in the Washington Post. Sad. The devil and the church, pastors and pastors' wives, as I have been preaching for over 30 plus years, starting with the church, starting with families that did not do it the Bible way. The situation is so bad with men today who do not know how to get it on with a woman, afraid of women, scared of women, no manliness, which actually attracts women. God made women that way, to be attracted to a manly man. Some may call them crazy, some may call them toxic, or some may call them wild or whatever, but that's what women love. They love a man. And they will not tolerate anything less than the man, meaning you think for yourself. She knows deep down that you can make it without her, but would like to make it with her. Okay, that's attractive to a woman, and the situation is so bad that a young black woman, I said a young black woman, who cannot possibly know all that she should know about the situation because she's not a man, but she is pitying men and feels sorry for men. And the last gentlemen, men, wild men, whatever you are, the last thing on earth you need is a woman pitying you. That's a big turnoff. Women they do not do well pitying you and feeling sorry for you and wanting to help you like you can't do anything yourself. She wrote an article that is shocking the nation. But see, I predicted a long time ago this was happening. I saw it happening. I wrote the book Letters to Young Black Men way back almost 20 years ago, because it was happening then, slowly but surely. Men were being beat down by evangelical pastors and Protestant pastors, by their wives, by their mothers, by their weak fathers, or no father at all. This woman, she cannot be any older than 28 years old, or 29, 27. Well-spoken, great writer. She wrote an article titled, Men Are Lost. They have lost their way. And she feels sorry for them. They had another man, a white man, on the show with her. This happened today. And he is beside himself at how terrible the situation is with men who have not had sex with a woman in over a year. They rather look at, or they choose to look at pornography and masturbate than to try to get with a woman. See, this was automatic back in the day. God made women to make it automatic in the eyesight of man. Yes, sirree. Yes, sir. A man ought to be ready to go get it. You didn't have a problem getting a man out of his mama's house? Huh? Listen to me. I had an apartment. My parents didn't know about it. But I was renting an apartment across town when I was in high school, so that I can meet up with the women folk. Oh, I'm ashamed of it now, but I didn't know any better back then. But it was automatic. I mean, when I saw Felicia in those jeans, you didn't have to pull me out. I'm coming for you. We'll meet at the club, we'll meet at the restaurant, whatever. But we got to get together, girl. Yes, sir, we got to get together. We's got to get together. I didn't know anything about God back then, but I can say now, God did something when he made a woman. The most beautiful creature on God's green earth is a fine woman, man. Yes, sir. And what's so the woman, the black woman, very calmly, she said, "What is wrong? Look at all of this right here. You ain't coming for it. You don't have any get up and go." And that's a turnoff to women. And society has caused this problem, including the church, as I said. Families where the mama rules over the man. And he becomes a mama's boy. No wonder we got so many sissies. So many homosexuals, so many sodomites. Don't get mad at me. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy philosophy. That's what boys were raised up in. I didn't raise my boys in that environment. I didn't raise my daughters in that environment. It don't make no difference to me whether my wife is happy or not. I'm going to do what God leads me to do. And I'm going to raise my children the way I want to raise them under God. Happy wife, happy life, and all of that. Men sent men in a tailspin trying to please a woman that they can't please. Nobody taught the woman that she needs to submit and to love her husband and to respect her husband and take care of his children. Nobody taught them that, see. And this is what I said this past week when I honored Joyce Myers, because Joyce Myers has been the only national voice of women as far as the ministry is concerned, who has tried to tell women, you need to get over yourself, stop all of this complaining. It's not about happy wife, happy life. It's not about if mama ain't happy, nobody happy. You need to choose to be happy. Woman, your husband does not want to have to raise the dead every day trying to make you happy. And a man can't make you happy anyway. Only Jesus can make you happy. Money can't make you happy. A new car can't make you happy. A new house cannot make you happy. Only Jesus can make you happy. She's the only woman who taught, okay, you need to wash your dishes. You spiritual? You love the Lord? Okay, wash your dishes. Don't let the dishes pile up in the house. Clean your house. Take care of your children. Change your children. Feed your children. Make sure the house is clean when your husband comes home. And she's the one who coined the phrase, enjoy everyday life. And understand that a large part of your Christianity is keeping that house clean, taking care of your husband, taking care of your children. Hello! Some women can't even get to the good times. They cut it short by divorcing, leaving, and all of this kind of foolishness. And husbands let them run all over them. And that's why this woman wrote this article in Washington Post. She couldn't even respond to all the emails. To this day, she can't respond to all the emails. But this is the same society, the same country, that's promoting, just this past week, homosexual sodomite sissy men wearing makeup and promoting Maybelline. Now let me tell you something. Maybelline has been around since before I was born. I saw Maybelline in my mother's purse when I was a little boy. on her dresser. I never thought ever in my life to pick up her Maybelline anything and put it on me. Never. Never. I mean, when you hear the word Maybelline, you think of women. But now Maybelline is pulling a Bud Light. Dylan Moraney, whatever her name is, his name is. Problem. And issue and difficulty for themselves because they're hiring homosexual men to promote and to market lipstick. Men with beards is the ugliest sight I have ever seen. And one man had the audacity to put a beret in his beard. And all I can think about is my daughters and the hundreds of berets they devoured and used over the years. And I can remember my daughter, Danae. She came up with a song or something called More Berets. And I said, look at this. This man, he got more berets than the girls. This is a shame before God. Husbands, love your wives. And love is not always letting your wife have her way. That's not love when you let your wife have her way. You don't love her. You're manipulating her just like she's manipulating you. Love sometimes is telling your wife, sit down and just be quiet. You don't need to talk about this right here because you don't know what you're talking about. So just sit down and pray and relax and stop getting all worked up. Loving your wife is also keeping her back from causing a problem and a stink at the parent-teacher meeting. Your job is to hold her back from running off at the mouth and harming somebody. That's love too. If you love your spouse, you don't let them have their way and do what they want. You, as the husband, you love them enough to tell them the truth. You say, well, how is it that, preacher, you've been married for over 35 years to one wife. You have never been divorced, never been remarried. And your wife is from Jamaica, and I know how feisty those Jamaican women are. Here's the main reason why we are still together. The Lord, commitment to the vows we made, our children. But a strong part of that is telling the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. You're looking at a man who's never lied to his wife about anything. From before we got married, I volunteered all of the information that I needed to tell her so that she would never be shocked. My wife knows where to go for the truth because I'm going to tell her the truth. My mother tried to call us one time and she was asking about a child that I had out of wedlock. And she said, well, is your wife in there? I don't want to say this in front of her. I said, look here. I said, Mom, I don't play games like that. I said, she already knows about the child. I told her before we got married to give her a chance to back out. I said, it's time out for doing that kind of thing. And she wanted to make sure I was not in the same room with my wife. And I told my mother, and we were just newly married. I said, anytime you want to tell me something, you can tell me in front of my wife. You don't have to try to hide it from my wife. Because I have never lied to my wife about, excuse the bad English, nothing. I know that's a double negative, but it sounds better. And I never have. See, You, and that's the kind of relationship that you must have if you want the marriage to last. You tell them the truth. You don't get all angry and frustrated, and you're about to have a conniption fit, and you look like you swallowed a curtain rod, and you, she does one more thing, or he does one more thing, you're about to burst, and then you want to hurt somebody, and all that. No. You let that air out all along the way. You don't wait till you've been married for 20 years, now you want to blow up and hurt somebody and all this kind of foolishness. You tell the truth along the way. That way you don't have to be looking over your shoulder about the lie you said, the lie you told. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Husbands, love your wives enough to tell them the truth, even as Christ also loved the church. Will God tell you the truth? Will Christ tell you the truth? Always. God has never lied to me. Jesus has never lied to me. And that's a wonderful thing, a wonderful relationship to have somebody who has never lied to you and who will never lie to you and gave himself for it. And that's pretty much all I'm going to do today in this service. And I may have preached through my time for the next service as well. At this time, my dear friends, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray for some people on the prayer list as well. Thank you, Danielle, for sending the prayer list of the people. Please continue to do so. It is easier for you to keep up with it than for me. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would have mercy and grace upon those of us who are saved and born again by your grace, and forgive us of our sins, failures, and faults of disobedience regarding your great commission and your great commandment. And Lord, I pray for the millions of loved ones who are still hurting from the coronavirus plague and other plagues and deaths. Comfort them as only you can. Draw them to yourself for salvation. We pray for the salvation of the lost, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick, for the comfort of the grieving and the mourning. And Holy Father God, we pray now for P. Please heal him spiritually and draw him closer to you. Help him to stay faithful in prayer. Heal him physically and bless his blood test results to come back to show that he is still healthy. Bless him financially as well. We pray, Lord, for Samuel. Please bless him with the resources he needs to continue helping people in India and to build an old age home there. We pray, Lord, for Marie. Protect her and keep her safe and secure from the gang associates and their parties. Keep the parties from disturbing her. And we pray, Lord, for Pastor Bushibi. Please prosper your church in Africa, for your work to go forth, for souls to be saved during even the hard times they are going through. Give them strength as they serve you, for your favor, strength, and direction. For the 2023 mission trip, bless the itemized prayer sessions and provide them with Bibles for new converts, supplies for orphans and widows, pastoral training, ministry, financial resources, and deliver them from hard economic and difficult times. We pray, Lord, for Erica. Please deliver her from suffering and for your will to be done regarding her situation. We also pray, Lord, for all of the people who have gotten saved and who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel through this ministry. We pray for Imran, we pray for Beatrice, we pray for Tracy, we pray for Vijay, we pray for Namish. And Lord, we pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Hand Mivi, we pray for Joy, and Lord, we pray for Marie, Damilola, and Stephen. Help them all to stand strong in the faith and to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. Save that soul that is nearest hell and revive those who are backslidden by the power of your mercy, your grace, and your love, even now as they hear the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you are with us today and you have never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know that you're on your way to a devil's hell and that you're not going to heaven when you die, but you want to go to heaven, allow me to share with you the bad news first, and then I will share with you the glorious good news. Bad news number one, you are a wicked, evil, and ungodly sinner, just as I am, just as the Pope is, and just as the Dalai Lama is, and even Joel Osteen is. We all have sinned against God. For God has said in his word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not perfect. We're not innocent. We all have broken God's Ten Commandments. For if we break one commandment, we break them all, the Bible says. You say, well, preacher, what are these commandments? What are these sins? Telling lies, stealing, robbing people, coveting after people and what they have, lusting after people and what they have, dishonoring your parents, disrespecting your parents, disobeying your parents, disobeying God, disrespecting God, taking his holy name in vain, lying on God Almighty to cover your sins, committing adultery, having sex with somebody who's married to somebody else, committing fornication, having sex before marriage, or committing homosexuality, which is an abomination against God. Man with man, woman with woman. The Bible says, people who do these things and do not repent of them and trust in Christ as Savior will die and go to hell. Bad news number one, we're all sinners. Bad news number two, we're all going to die. Death is a punishment. The Bible says, God's Word says, the wages of sin is death. We die because of our sins, our lies, our stealing, our robbing, our lusting, coveting, dishonoring and disobeying our parents, dishonoring and disobeying God. Committing adultery, committing fornication, looking at pornography and lusting with your evil heart at it. And all other sins. The wages or the payment for sin is death always. And nobody gets away with sin in God's economy. Otherwise, he would not be God. Bad news number one, we're sinners. Bad news number two, we're going to die because of our sins. Bad news number three, if we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, a person who does not believe in Jesus Christ in this life will go to hell and will be tormented and will burn in hell forever. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Son of God, preached more on hell than all of the prophets in the Old Testament. He preached more on hell than all of the apostles in the New Testament. My dear friends, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because he loves you. He's warning you not to go to hell. And the only way you can avoid going to hell is to believe in him. For Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He became the Passover Lamb of God to pay our sin debt that we owe God. And Jesus Christ, who never lied, cannot lie, said the most loving words ever said in the history of the world. I'm getting ready to tell you the good news part now. You know the bad news. Now you can appreciate the good news. Jesus Christ said the most loving words ever said in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said the most magnificent words ever said in the history of the world. Jesus Christ said the most important words ever said in the history of the world. Nobody can touch these words. Not Socrates, not Plato, not Einstein. Not even Oppenheimer. Jesus Christ said these words one night to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of Almighty God. And all you have to do, according to him, is believe in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Going to church cannot save you. Giving money to the church can't save you. Speaking in some unknown tongue can't save you. Doing good works in the community won't save you. Getting baptized will not save you. All of these are good things to do after you are saved, motivated by the love of God, but doing good works will never save you. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, praying and asking him to come into your heart to save your soul and to change your life, and he will do so. You're looking at a person who hated his father because his father was a preacher. His father never did him any wrong. I cursed and swore to my friends and to my girlfriends that I would never be a preacher like my dad. And this year, I have been preaching for over 43 years, the gospel. Just finished preaching the gospel in the Word of God nearly every day for over 7 years. I have preached more than my dad, even though I hated my dad for being a preacher. If God can save a wretch and a wicked person like me, he can save you. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, for the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're ready to get saved from hell tonight, follow me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart, the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and be sincere about it. Otherwise, don't pray the prayer. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose from the dead by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul tonight. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my wicked lifestyle and follow you in the newness of life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you pray that prayer and you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, may I say to you, congratulations for doing the most important thing in life. And that is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you. Now, I want to help you to grow in the faith so that you can become a strong Christian. And I want you to get my free book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said, "I am the door." You can go and get this free book at gospellightsociety.com. You can download it free of charge or read it right there. And it will help you to grow in the faith and be the Christian that God wants you to be. On the front of gospellightsociety.com is a list of populating podcasts. Click on the podcast button, the Gospelite Society podcast button, and it will lead you to thousands of podcasts dealing with nearly 50 different theological subjects that I have preached and taught on and had devotional services on. And it will just sit back and listen free of charge. The book is free of charge. Just listen and grow thereby. Let us know that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ by emailing me directly at dw3@gospellightsociety.com. That is dw3@gospellightsociety.com. Also, if you have a prayer request, email that in as well at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or gls@gospellightsociety.com. God bless you, my dear friends. Until next time, remember the motto of the Marines, Semper Fidelis. You are a soldier of the cross. Semper Fidelis means to be always faithful. And then remember the motto of the Air Force / Space Force, Semper Supra, which means always above. Keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord, always above, and he will lead you and guide you and direct you. He is the captain of the ship. Remember to pray without ceasing, read the Word of God without ceasing, meditate on the Word of God without ceasing, and remember also, dear friends, to pray for me as I pray for thee. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, as the music plays.